Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the New Testament book of the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 12. Titus, chapter 2, verse 12. Titus, chapter 2, verse 12 reads this way. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, once again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, I thank you for each one that has turned aside from the responsibilities and the cares of this world to come and hear from you and to worship you and to honor you. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us with the filling of your Holy Spirit, that we would hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, ultimately, that you might be highly exalted and that you would empower our lives to be the witnesses of your great grace. And Lord, if there's one here that does not have that assurance, that even today you would open up their understanding to trust you and to experience the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that you've provided. Again, bless all of your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it here to ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Live Soberly in This Present World. That's what the scripture told us there in verse 12. Live soberly in this present world. Well, we want to ask the Lord, what does that mean? What does it mean to live soberly? I would dare say that nobody drinks in here. So when we think of being unsober, that's being intoxicated or being drunk, right? And then if being sober, you're not drunk. And we thank the Lord for that. But the Bible does say something about not being drunk with wine where it is excess, but being filled with the Spirit of God to where the Spirit of God has control in our lives. And so God says, you know, I'm giving you grace and ordained the Spirit of God to teach us all the things of God to receive the salvation of the Lord, right? That's the first thing. Then the Spirit of God, and in that comes the grace of God, right? The grace of God comes before all the other things, before patience, before kindness. So when we have the grace of God, God is able to direct our lives, right? Grace brings salvation. Grace brings the power of God into our lives. And so let's consider tonight what it means to live soberly in this present world concerning really spiritual things, right? The world has an idea of what it means to be sober and living soberly, but the Bible teaches us that we need to be aware and completely tuned in to all the things that God has for us. Because in the day and age in which we live, there are a lot of distractions that are out there and deception that's taking place and confusion. And God does not want us to be blown around by any wind of doctrine that would be false doctrine. And God does not want us to be shaken from our faith. God wants us to be on the solid rock. So let's consider three thoughts tonight. And first of all, to live soberly means that we find a pattern of good works, right? God has laid out that pattern. We don't have to invent that pattern. We don't have to create that pattern. That pattern of good works has already been developed for us. And then we'll take note of the focus of God's people, what God's people are looking to. That enables us to live soberly, right? If you were playing baseball, they'd say, keep your eye on the ball, right? For many reasons, because you're not going to be able to make a good play. And secondly, you might get hit in the head, right? So you want to make sure that you keep your eye on the ball. And so we want to honor the Lord with our lives, and we want to make home runs by the grace of God. And we definitely don't want to be taken out of the game, amen, by an accident, because we weren't paying attention. And some things come upon people when they're not paying attention. We don't want to be in that group. And then lastly, we find the arrival of God's grace to all men and then the focus of God's people. So we want to look at it in that order. So a pattern of good works, the arrival of God's grace to all men, that's important, and the focus of God's people. So back up with me to verse 7 just for a moment here, and let's look at the pattern of good works. And we're going to look at verse 7, and we're going to find here the outlook of God's people, or the things that God's people should be looking to. Look at verse 7, it says, in all things showing thyself a pattern
of good works. In other words, listen, we ought to have a pattern. There's consistency. A pattern is something that you follow. And by the way, we've got the best pattern, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ through the word that he's given to us. So if you will look to the word of God, you won't fail. Let me say that again. If we as believers will look to the word of God, we won't fail. Now, here's the thing. The problem comes when we say, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can do half of what God is asking me to do. Well, the truth is we can do none of what God is asking us to do. So we must be completely dependent upon the Lord. Lord, here's a good prayer. I want to be obedient, but Lord, you know, he does know, and I know I can't do anything without you, right? For without me, you can do nothing. And so we know that we can't do anything with the Lord. And so, Lord, I want to follow your pattern. So he says this, what kind of pattern is that? In doctrine, showing uncorruptness with the, notice, gravity and sincerity, being level, right? Gravity means you're on the ground. Amen. You're not just floating around anywhere. You're not out in space somewhere. You're grounded. Right? In the truth. You're grounded in the truth. You're rooted in the truth. And this will bring the pattern of good works. We understand what the doctrine is. And we want to show uncorruptness. And we want to be sincere in this, in verse 7. So what does that mean? Well, you know, we don't excuse ourselves, or we don't call out. For example, if we're angry, I would dare say 99.999% sure that we're in the flesh. Well, wait a minute, somebody might say. Nobody here tonight. But somebody outside of this room might say, but Brother George, doesn't the Bible say, be angry and sin not? Shouldn't we be mad at sin? Yeah, but listen to that commandment, would you? Listen, that's the only commandment that says do it, but don't sin. So that's why I tell you, 99.999% of the time that you get angry, it's not for God. Amen? 99.99%. Listen, God says, that's the only commandment. He says, be angry and what? Sin not. But he doesn't say, hey, listen, love and sin not. Love in the Lord Jesus Christ and sin not. Be kind and sin not. Be long-suffering and sin not. These are all the things that God commands us to do. But all of them, he doesn't say and sin not, except for being angry and sin not. You know why? Because we can be angry and be sinning. That's the only reason why the Lord is saying that. And by the way, listen, even if it's for the Lord, we need to be careful. You remember when the Lord was rejected, when he was going through a certain town, and the disciples said, Lord, would you have us call down fire from heaven? Because they rejected you. And you remember what the Lord said to, I believe it was Peter. Remember what the Lord said to Peter? Usually it's always Peter, right? But anyway, he said, hey, you know not what spirit you are of, right? You think you're doing something for the Lord, but you're not in the right spirit. God was correcting him and saying, you're not in the right spirit. And so listen, we need the Lord. That's the bottom line. And things are culminating. It could be, listen, I'm not saying it could. The Lord said be ready, because at any moment he can come back. But listen, but let's also plan for everybody in this room. You need to plan for at least another 40 years, okay? No going home early, all right? You just stay till the Lord comes back anyway, right? But here's the whole deal. Make the plan that, you know what, I'm going to walk with the Lord, and I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to call on him to enable me to walk upright. Be upright. Be up front. Listen, be up front with the Lord. Lord, listen, I'm failing you in these areas. And you know what he's going to tell you? Listen, I've been waiting for you to allow me to help you deal with that, because he's going to do it in and through us. So in other words, God has indwelt us with his Holy Spirit. And it's our spirit and his spirit. It's going to be his spirit that's going to empower us to follow him through the new spirit that God has given to us in a way that would honor and glorify him. He'll bring it to pass. All we have to do is present ourselves as the willing sacrifice that is willing to do that. All right? So he says, the outlook of God's people is important if you're going to have a pattern of good works. And then also we find the exhortation of God's people. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 8. Sound speech. He's talking about showing ourselves a good pattern of good works. Sound speech, that's a good thing, right? That cannot be condemned. In other words, things ought not to come out of our mouths that the world would say, and you call yourself a Christian, right? God, listen, I need you to help me with that, right? And what happens is you're going to find that you're going to have certain, you're going to go a long time with a lot of victory. But be mindful of this. Listen, the flesh is still there, right? In other words, listen, we deal with ourselves, but God says, I am going to give you the victory over that. And so expect it. God, you've told me you can do this for me, did he not? And so, Lord, I'm expecting, and he will. The problem comes when we forget because it's been a little while, right? We've gone a while and we forget, oh, I still need you in these things. So notice what he says here, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, the opposite, having no evil thing to say of you. And then he says this, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters. Today we would say, exhort employees to be obedient to their own employers, right? We would say that today. And to please them well in all things, not answering again. Don't double talk, right? Just follow what they're doing. Be of the Spirit. Listen, it's easy to shine in this world today, okay? Because I'm sorry, this generation of whatever age, they're not really, a lot of them, I'm not saying all of them, I'm saying there are some people that do want to work, and they feel like when I go somewhere to work, I'm paid to work, and so I'm going to work. They're not looking to, here's the new one, ready? I just want to be chill. That means I just want to collect a paycheck and not work for it. That's what it means. I just want to chill. As long as I can be chill. Well, chill doesn't help out your employer at all. They didn't hire you to chill and collect a paycheck. And God says, you know what, listen, make sure that whatever you're doing, you do it to the honor and glory of the Lord. And you go there, fair pay for fair work, right? And by the way, as believers, we want to even go above that for the honor and glory of the Lord. And so he says, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, verse 9, and to please them well in how many things? All things. In all things, not just some, not just most, all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. And so here, as we consider this, God is saying, he's exhorting us to walk in this way, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. In other words, these are ornaments, these are things. When we do these things, it gives value and it gives appeal to the doctrines that we believe. So in other words, listen, when they see you and they know what you stand for, they really don't have anything negative, because you know what? You're kind, you're gentle, you're the hardest worker there. You know what I'm saying? See, they can say all they want to about religion, but when we're being really genuinely led by the Spirit, we're doing it as unto the Lord. And so we are going to be diligent that whatever we do, it honors and glorifies him. And we put really our hope and our trust in him and not in what the world can do or won't do. The world is going to take advantage of us. But you know what? Listen, the Bible says, the Word of God says that you know what? We allow certain things, right? In other words, we don't give them what for. We're patient and kind, and we'll do the right thing by the grace of God, because the world didn't like our Savior, and they're not gonna. It's not gonna like us, but God has put us in the world to be what? Lights, to be lights in the world, and so we're not just trying to do what the world is doing. We are. Listen, our treasure, is it here on earth? If so, we're an unhappy lot. Our treasure is in heaven. And our hope is in heaven. And so we're just passing through. That's all we're doing. Brother Leo Myers, remember what he said? We are overcomers passing through. And we're overcomers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're passing through. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the things here, but the things here are not our treasure. Amen? Okay. So he says, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Again, in all things. And so this is really the pattern of good works and the purpose of them. And when we consider them, we need to realize that we cannot do any of these things without the Lord. Notice the arrival of God's grace to all men here in verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 says this, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men," all mankind, but especially who? We, the believers, right? And then notice this, teaching not the world, not your neighbor, but teaching us. See, we have to take this personally and realize that we have, listen, the grace of God has been revealed to all men. Isn't that what it just said? But especially to who? Us, the believers, especially to us. So what is the grace of God? The grace of God is unmerited favor. And so Lord, listen, what I need to be able to do is look to you to enable me to see things how you see things. And do you know the scoundrel that would take advantage of you or be unkind to you is one for whom Christ died for? That's what kept them going to the cross. Their soul kept the Lord on track to go to the cross. Our souls kept the Lord on track. Hey, did we owe an unbelievable debt that we could not pay? And their debt that they do to us, the wrong that the world would do to us, is just nothing really in comparison to the debt that we owed the Lord that has been paid for. It has been paid for. And so God says, listen, allow them, let the grace of God flow. And you have to position yourself in the hands of God in order for that to happen. You have to on purpose pursue that and ask God to do that. If you're so busy in your own, and listen, you're here tonight, so I really believe you're seeking, but I'm saying it's easy to get so wrapped up in what we've got to do that we forget, wait a minute, God wants me to be a witness and a testimony of his grace. And here's how it works. He gives us his grace, fills our cup, overflows it so that the world can have that. So very quickly, listen, what does this grace of God do, right, that has appeared to all men, especially us? Teaching us, verse 12, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God says, I'm going to enable you to do that. Be aware that, listen, I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not out loud, but could you say that to yourself tonight? I am living, my life belongs to the Lord. And I want to, I'm asking you to, in your own heart and mind, can you say that to the Lord? I really want my life to count for Christ. I want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you have to have is a want to. And God says, I'll do the rest as you walk with me. Now, listen, we will stumble and trip along the way as we grow to understand what God means by all of that. But all we have to do is have the want to, and then every time we open up the Word of God, God's going to show us something, okay? Last thought, ready? The focus of God's people, or really, what should be the focus of God's people? Our salvation, what God's given to us, by the way, which is the pearl of great price, right, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's focus on this salvation. What is this salvation all about? Well, look at verse 14. It's called the blessed hope. Verse 13, I'm sorry. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Boy, listen, you know how some people say, well, Jesus Christ was just the Son of God. He was not God. Well, it just said right there. Just call him God in case you didn't notice that. Looking for that blessed hope, verse 13, and the glorious appearing of the what? Great God and our Savior. That's still the same person, Jesus Christ. And what is this great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ? What did he do? Who gave himself for who? For us. That he might redeem us from, again, there's that universal word, all. All, not just some. Now listen to this truth. Who did the delivering? Jesus. God did, right? All right, so watch this. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We ought to shout about that instead of saying, well, listen, I woe is me. Nobody knows. right? The trouble I'm in, or I don't know how that song goes, but anyway. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Listen to this. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous, excited about good works, because it's in him. Didn't Paul say that I am what I am by the grace of God? Do you know why Paul was so excited? He was awed at what God was doing through him. He knew that he was not that way. And so listen, what was Paul? He was a murderer of the church. Now he loved the church. That was not Paul. That was Christ in Paul that made him a lover of the church. Amen? He was a murderer turned lover, right? Of the church, of the things of God. And so every time he kept seeing all this stuff come out, he said, whoa. It's like a greater value. It's like the Midas touch. Everything he was doing was turning to gold. Kindness, gentleness, all these things. And he, you know what he said? He said, wow, you know what? All that stuff I learned for all my life, you know what I'm going to do with that? I'm throwing it out. Because what God is giving to me are greater riches. God is revealing himself. He's awing me. He's showing me himself in my life. And I'm you know what he was doing? Paul said he couldn't get enough of it. He wanted to tell other believers, go for it yourself. Because it's given to you already. He just said that. It's given to us all. And so if we'll just prove God on that. He didn't say manufacture it yourself. He said, I'll give it to you. If you have need of something, why would we ask him for it if he says, well, just get it yourself? He's not doing that. He says, if you have any great need, if you have any need, ask me and I'll what? I'll give it to you. Right? So the problem is we think that we're supposed to manufacture all these things. And God says, no, I'm going to give it to you. And then you're going to be excited about your salvation. You already are because you've got eternal life. But God wants us to enjoy the trip there. Amen? All right. Very quickly, and we're done here. And here's really what we find the whole topic of conversation, and that is verse 14 and 15, because he says, who gave himself, that's our Savior, for us, that he might redeem us, not just eternal life, but to redeem us, not just in salvation, but from all iniquity, and purify unto himself. He's doing the purification for himself. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. He put that in Paul. And he put that in other disciples, and he wants to put it in us if we'll have it. It's not just going to church and reading your Bible and praying, those things. It's God in our lives. These things, if you want to know what the topic of conversation is, ready? These things, he says, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise these, specifically to Titus here, right? So it's a pastoral epistle here. But this is what's to be handed down. We ought to be excited and we ought to encourage other believers and tell them what Paul was saying. Listen, Christ in me, the hope of glory. What a wonderful blessing that God has given to us. Not just redemption, please, that's of great value, but also the transforming work of God in our lives on this side of eternity. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word is metamorphosis, which has the idea of a butterfly. You remember the worm, right? That was a butterfly, ugly thing, and then it turned out to be a beautiful butterfly. I'll tell you a quick story, and I'll close with this. In Texas, I didn't know. Looked like a green tomato hornworm. And my poor Julia came out there. Dad, don't kill those. No, these are tomato worms. They look just like them. I took two bricks. They were all over my... They were monarch butterflies. I did not know. She was in tears. And I thought I was killing tomato worms, right? Why? Because I did not have the understanding. I did not have the correct knowledge. And I caused damage instead of good. Do you know that's the same thing for a child of God? When we don't understand the truth, and that truth is that Jesus Christ, listen, is the author and the what? Finisher of our faith. We're just along for the ride. If we can grab hold of that, God says, I can do things for you that you will be amazed if you'll just prove me in that. Call me on that, and I'll answer and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the reminder of the great grace that you've given to us, not only for eternal life, Lord, but for this life as well, that we might be a peculiar people, a godly people, empowered, Lord, by your grace, to bear witness of your grace to one another and to a lost and dying world. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.